When I was a child growing up in the mountains in western PA, every year in Christmas time, we would go into the mountains, into the woods, and we would go and hike through the woods to find ground pine. If you know ground pine, is it grows along the ground, and you pick it up, and we would use it for decorating on our house for Christmas. And we would always go to the certain place that we knew there was a lot of it, and friends of ours had an old house there in the woods, and we would often go to their property. And I remember this one particular day, it was my sister and I and my mom and dad, and I think I was about maybe 13 or 14 at the time, and we all were gathering our ground pine, and we were all together in one area. And I was busy picking my ground pine up off the ground and putting it in a bag and wasn't really paying attention. I was finding an area where I was working. I was getting all together and not paying attention. And then I got up and I looked around in an instant and everybody around me was gone. Just like they completely disappeared. And it was like, where did they go? Have you ever been in a situation like you're somewhere that everybody around you disappears and they're gone? Like, where'd they go? Well, I had this fear of dread come over me because I felt, honestly, that the rapture had come and I was left behind. And I thought, oh no, they all were raptured away and I'm left here and now I'm going to face what's behind and I got to deal with it. Have you ever had those feelings? I mean, there's a feeling of fear and dread gripped me. And I was like running around, panic. Well, where'd they go? Where'd they go? And I'm yelling and screaming, where are you? Where are you? And finally, I found out that they all went in the house visiting with everybody, left me outside, and I was left behind. That feeling of dread and fear, a feeling that I missed the rapture, is the same feeling that the Thessalonian church had. As Paul was writing to them, and as we get to chapter 5, for they had that same feeling that they had missed the rapture, that they had missed the coming of the day of the Lord, and they were left behind, and they were going to have to deal with the horrors of the coming tribulation. We had seen last week in chapter 4, as Paul was writing to them to encourage them, because they had thought, well, what had happened to their loved ones who died in the Lord, and Jesus didn't come back yet, and they believed for sure that Jesus was coming in their lifetime. And now they were seeing some of their loved ones die. And they said, well, what's going to happen to them? Are they going to miss the Lord's return too? And we had seen last week how Paul had written chapter 4 to them to encourage them, to comfort them, that no, the dead in Christ will rise first, and all of us will be together. And Paul dealt with that question last week. But still they had the fear remaining. Well, what about now? Because they were experiencing persecution. They were experiencing hardship. And they thought the tribulation time had come. And they thought, oh no, we missed the day of the Lord. And we got to go through this time of suffering, this time of redemption. And so Paul was writing to encourage them and to give them comfort as they still had these questions that were pausing their mind. And Paul answered the first question as we seen last week. And now he turns to the second question. Did we miss the rapture? Did we miss the day of the Lord's coming? Are we left behind to have to go through the horrors of the tribulation? What's going to happen to us? And it's in chapter 5 that we move in to find comfort where Paul deals with that question. And he states to the Thessalonians that they are children of the light. And because we are children of the day, and that's who we are, we don't have to fear or be worried about the coming of the day of the Lord. And that's the main point of what he's trying to tell them, because we belong to the day, and we are children of the day, not of the nighttime, not of the darkness. And because we are children of the day, we don't have to fear the coming day of wrath. We don't have to fear the coming of the day of the Lord, because we can be comforted for the fact that we belong to Jesus. And Jesus will come to take his own to be with him. That's what the rapture was about last week. And that's the comfort that we can find. That there are three reasons why we can have confidence and we can have blessed assurance. And I entitled this series in Thessalonians, Blessed Assurance, because it's about that wonderful assurance we have in the coming of Jesus and how we are to live in light of it. But there's three reasons why we can have confidence and assurance this morning. Because as children of the light, number one is that we will not see or be caught off guard. We won't be caught off guard by his coming, so we don't have to worry about that. Notice what he says in verses 1 to 6. He said, now brothers, about the times and the seasons and dates. We don't need to write to you about that. You already have been taught it. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief. When people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly. And he said, verse 4, brothers, you are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. Because we are children of the day, because we belong to Christ, we won't be caught off guard by the coming of Christ, as many people who will when the Lord returns. Why? Because since we know what is ahead, we're not going to be taken by surprise. Paul likened the coming of the Lord to a thief in the night. And when a thief comes and breaks into somebody's house, a thief uses the element of surprise. A thief doesn't let you know and give you advance notice that he's coming. They usually come and it's a surprise. It's an element of surprise. But in the case of us, the Lord's coming for us, it will not take us by surprise. He says, you know very well that the day of the Lord is coming. That word very well means accurately and precisely, because Paul had taught them what the day of the Lord meant and about the coming of Christ and how to be prepared for it. Verse 1 opens by saying, now brothers, about. And Paul is making it clear here that he was talking about two separate events. Chapter 4, we had seen last week, he was talking about the resurrection of the dead from the grave. And about the rapture of the church, and when those of us are alive at the time Jesus would come for us, we'll be caught up together with him in the clouds in the air. A separate event. But now he's talking about the day of the Lord, which is a separate event altogether. Paul is making a clear distinction between two separate events. The rapture of the church in chapter 4, and the second coming of Christ in chapter 5. And they are two complete separate events. And that's why he said we won't be caught off guard, because the Bible was, Jesus has taught us, the scripture has taught us and made it very clear for us, we know what the future holds. We know what lies ahead for us so that we can be prepared. We won't be caught off guard. Notice also the change of personal pronouns when he's talking about that. In verse 3, he says, while people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly. If you go back up to chapter 4, beginning at verse 13 and on, he says, according to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we are still alive and are left, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left, we caught up together with them in the clouds, and we will all be with the Lord forever. Notice the difference in pronouns. When he's talking about the day of the Lord, he's talking about they. When he's talking about the rapture of the church and the resurrection of the dead, he's talking about we, us. Two separate events here that the Lord is telling us about. And the rapture of the church is imminent and has no signs preceding it, and it can happen at any moment. That's why we need to be ready for it. When the Lord gives the sound, the trumpet will call, and the dead in Christ and we who are alive will be caught up together, as we've seen last week, and will be with the Lord forever. And there's no signs, there's nothing to warn us on that, but we've been told we need to be prepared. But the second coming is preceded by a multitude of signs and by a time of tribulation on this earth that will be unleashed, that the book of Revelation teaches us about, that we looked at together when we were in that book. And the differences between the two. The rapture, Jesus comes in the air. And we've seen last week that we'll rise up to meet him in the air. We'll be caught up to taken with him in the clouds. And the second coming, Jesus is coming back to earth to reign. In the rapture, he's coming for believers. In the second coming, he comes with the believers. We come with him. The rapture happens before the great tribulation, And the second coming happens after the 7 years of tribulation. In the rapture, we saints move into earth, from earth to heaven to live with the Lord. In the second coming, we come from heaven to move down to earth to live with the Lord here. And the second coming is a public appearance, while the rapture is a secret disappearance of the church. So two separate events. So Paul says we won't be caught off guard because we know what's ahead. So we won't be taken by surprise. That the world will be caught off guard and will be totally surprised because they will have rejected God's revelation. Notice what he says in verse 3. He says people will be saying peace and safety, thinking everything is going well. But then destruction will eventually overtake them. Suddenly, like labor pains on a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so will be in the coming of the Son of Man. He said, during the days of Noah, people were eating and drinking and engaging in all kind of partying and rivalry up to the day that Noah entered the ark. For 120 years, Noah preached and imagined this sign as he was building the ark and the ark was going up. It was a sign of coming judgment. The judgment was coming. And Noah told them, but those of his day did not believe. They did not receive the message until the day that the flood waters came. And then it was too late and they were swept away. There's people today, unbelievers, who when we try to tell them of the love of Jesus, when we try to tell them how much God loves them and that Jesus came and died for all of us, they spurn that or they reject it. They don't want to hear it. People don't want to hear that there is a day of judgment coming and we have to give an account of ourselves before God. And people are thinking, I'm fine just the way I am. Don't bother me. I'm good just the way I am. Those are the ones that are going to be caught off guard when that day of judgment comes, because they have not been prepared. We know ahead of time. God has told us. We've responded. So we won't be caught off guard. And he was telling the church here, we don't have to fear that. That feeling that I had, that I thought I was left behind there in the mountains picking the ground pine, thinking I was caught, I thought I was caught off guard, but I don't have to feel, we don't have to feel that way. Because we are, through Jesus Christ and faith in him, we are prepared. We won't be taken by surprise. God has already told us in his word what's going to occur. Aren't you thankful for that? You already know these things, he says. They've been told to you. The Thessalonians were children of the day, and they were not in the same group. He said to them in verse 4, but you, brothers, are not in the darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. He said, we're not of the group. We're not of those who don't know about Christ. We're not of those who are unprepared, who will be caught off guard. We don't have to worry about that. We're children of the light, been redeemed by Christ. And he makes a big distinction that those who don't know Christ will be caught by surprise and then carried away into destruction and darkness, pain, and no escape. But those of us that know Christ, children of the light, will have light, salvation, and life with God. Since we know what's ahead, we won't be taken by surprise. God has told us that. But also, since we know who we are, we won't nod off to sleep. Another reason why we won't get caught off guard. He's told us what's going to occur, but he's also, because of who we are, we won't nod off to sleep. Verses 5 and 6, he says, you are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the light or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. As sons of the light and sons of the day, he said, that is who we are, as belonging to Christ. Son of the light, son of the day, daughters of the day, children of the day, meaning that we have been redeemed by Christ and we belong to Him, and we are owned by Him. And because we are of the day, that describes who we are and how we are to live. He says, let us not... He said, those who are of the darkness fall asleep. And when they sleep, verse 7, they sleep at night. And they get drunk at night. That word sleep here is a different word than he used in chapter 4. In chapter 4, the word sleep for sleep was the word that referred to a gentle, peaceful sleep, and it was a synonym for death, as we had seen last week. Those who have fallen asleep in Christ, those who have died in the Lord. But the word sleep here is a different word. It refers to a state of sleep that is restless and wild. It's a synonym for spiritual indifference, lethargy, and carnality. That those who are not of Christ are spiritually indifferent. They have no idea at all or care for the Lord or what's going on. Living in carnality and the things of the world and just lethargy and have no spiritual care at all. He said, because we are of the light, we won't nod off to sleep. In other words, he calls us to be alert, to be watchful, to be awake, to be spiritually awake and knowing that living each day as if Jesus could come today for us. Being aware and not spiritually apathetic. As we wait for the Lord's return, as we wait for that rapture of the church when the Lord will catch us up to be with him, he calls us to be spiritually alert, not to drift off to a sleep, because that's what the children of the night do. But he said the children of the day are fully awake and fully alert, spiritually in tune to the Lord, looking, keeping our eye on the sky for that redemption that draws nigh for us, longing for the day when the trumpet will sound and we'll be caught up to be taken to him, not nodding off into spiritual indifference. And sometimes we can do that in the midst of a long delay. Remember the story Jesus told in Matthew about the 10 virgins who were waiting to be invited into the coming wedding banquet. And the bridegroom had delayed his coming, and the bridegroom there represented Jesus. And he had delayed, and they had their lamps. They were ready to go into the banquet when it came. But in the midst of that, they fell asleep. And they drifted off to sleep. And 5 of them were unprepared, and they didn't have enough oil. And when they announced, wake up, the bridegroom has come. And you can, those prepared went to the banquet. The 5 that had the oil and their lamps were ready were entered in, but the other 5 were not. They had drifted off to sleep. They were unprepared. They drifted into that spiritual lethargy. Because of who we are as children of the day, Paul says, we won't be caught off guard because we're going to be spiritually alert. We're going to be in tune to him, to what he's doing in our life, to keeping aware, a spiritual awareness in our life. We don't need to fear missing the day of the Lord because we won't be caught off guard at his coming, but we also don't need to fear because we won't be ashamed at his coming. As children of the day, we have nothing to be ashamed of when Christ returns because we are of the day. We are not of the night. And when the Lord comes, we don't have to be terrified or afraid. What's going to happen to me? Or will he leave me behind? If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, he has cleansed us from our sin. And we stand before him clean and forgiven. And so when he looks at you and I, he looks at us as if there is no sin there. And we won't be ashamed when he comes. But we'll be ready to meet him with our arms ready to receive him. Because when we live as children of the light. He says, when we live as children of the light, we won't have anything to be ashamed of. Verse 7 and 8 says that those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk in the night. As he said about the activities of day and night, he says, those who belong to the night, then that's nighttime is in a city or when people do crime, lots of times when they steal, when they assault people, when they mug people, often it's in under cover of darkness. And they do it in the darkness to try to hide and conceal their sin. And Paul says that's the nature of the night. The nature of the night is evil and darkness. And those who belong to the night, that's their nature. That they're just naturally living out their nature of sin. But he said, we belong to the day. And in the daytime activities, he said, in the night is when people sleep. But in the daytime activities and the qualities of the day, that's who we represent. And that's who we are. And living for Christ, living the character qualities of Jesus in our life. We won't be ashamed at his coming when we live as children of the light, when we live in the daytime. And living in the day is walking in step with his Spirit. Living in the day is walking in obedience with him. Living the day is following in accordance of his word. Trusting and obeying and living as Jesus would want us to. And when we're living in that way, we won't be ashamed of him. We won't be ashamed when he comes, because we won't be doing anything at that moment that we wished we hadn't been. Because we are of the day. Paul says, since we are children of the day, we are to live like it. Our life will show it. We will not engage or indulge in the activities of the night. He said, those who are children of the night, that's when at night times when they do what they do. But he said, we are to live as children in day. Living as children of the light, we won't be ashamed as he comes. We won't be ashamed when he comes, when we put on the character of light as well. And we manifest the true character of what light is and the light of Christ within our life. And he says in verse 8, he said, therefore, he said, but since we belong to the day, since we are children of day, of Christ, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. When we put on the character of the light of Jesus in our life, we have nothing to be ashamed of, because when people see you and I, they see Jesus. And when Jesus returns, he sees his beauty being reflected in us. In the midst of a battle, we need protection. And the Romans, in the midst of their battles they would face, would put on a breastplate. And Paul uses that as an example. And we see this again in Ephesians chapter 6, where he talked about the breastplate. But here he says, put on the breastplate for protection. A breastplate was a piece of armor that would go from the neck all the way down to the waist. And it covered over the vital organs, that whenever a soldier in hand-to-hand combat would be attacked by a sword or a spear, they would be protected. Their heart and lungs and vital organs would be protected. And Paul says, faith, hope, and love is our defense as we do battle with Satan every day against the princes of darkness around us. It's faith, hope, and love that protects us, and putting on the quality and the likeness of Jesus. And faith and love is the breastplate that protects our heart. And when we live out faith and trust in Christ, faith and his love working out through us, it protects our heart. And hope is the helmet that covers our head. And hope is what protects our thinking, our mind, our head. Because faith equals confidence. And love equals loyalty. And hope is our security. Through faith is that confidence that protects our heart from straying away. And love is that loyalty that if we love Jesus, we will obey him. And hope is the security, knowing that we stand in him and that we are safe in him. These three equip us as Christians to stand ready for the rapture, to be ready for that day, that when he comes, we don't need to be ashamed. Because as living as children of the light, reflecting the character qualities of faith, hope, and love, and of who Jesus is within us, we stand ready for him. We don't need to fear being caught off guard. He's told us ahead of time what's going to occur. We've taken the preparations. We made those arrangements. We don't need to fear being ashamed, because as the children of the light, as we live and walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. But third, we can have confidence and blessed assurance as children of the day because we also won't need to fear His coming. We won't need to fear when He comes. That moment that I had that I thought I was left behind at the rapture and I was filled with dread thinking I had missed it. And the Thessalonians thinking that they had missed it. And that they were left behind to face the tribulation, the time that was coming. And Paul said, we don't have to fear as children of the light. We don't have to fear the Lord's coming. We don't have to dread that day when the trumpet sounds. And we're going to be caught up together. In fact, as Christians, we should look for and long for that day, right? The Bible says in the book of Revelation, come quickly, Lord Jesus. That should be our prayer. We should look forward with expectation to that day and not dread it, not fear it, but have hope. And that's what 1 Thessalonians is all about. Because we don't have to fear His coming because we are not appointed for wrath. As children of the light, as children who have been saved by grace and faith in Christ and have been saved by our faith in Him, we are not appointed for wrath. Paul says in verse 9, he says, for God did not appoint us to suffer wrath. Romans 8 says that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We don't have to fear the coming of the Lord, the day of the Lord, because we're not appointed for wrath. And wrath, the day of wrath that the Bible refers to, is the coming of the Lord and the time of tribulation. And when the Lord returns, He is going to pour out His wrath and bring judgment to a world that is opposed against Him. The time of tribulation leading up to it is when God pouring out His wrath on sin and His judgment on sin being poured out. And as believers in Christ, are we judged under God's judgment? No. We're not appointed for that day of wrath. We will be saved from it. We will be raptured before it. We were not appointed to go through that time of great tribulation on this earth. And aren't you thankful for that? So we don't have to fear it, because that's not our destiny. It's not who we are as children of the day. We see that illustrated in several times in Scripture. Before God sent the great flood on the earth, and before He poured out His wrath on the world of that time for their sin, what did He do? He called Noah, and He told him, ask him to build an ark, a boat of safety, an ark of safety, that when they entered into that ark of safety by faith and obedience, and they entered and trusted God, they were spared the wrath that was poured out on the rest of the unbelieving world. And theirs life was because they were not appointed for wrath, because they were saved from it. Another illustration, before God destroyed the city of Lot, of Sodom and Gomorrah, before He destroyed that city for their sin, He called Lot and rescued Lot and his family from that city before He rained down the fire and destruction upon that, the unbelieving city, because His own are not destined for wrath. If you are a child of God, a child of the light, God has not appointed you for wrath, but for grace and peace. And aren't you thankful for that? So we don't have to fear the coming of the day. We don't have to fear that final judgment. We can stand before Him with confidence because of what Jesus has done for us. We are not appointed as children of wrath. We are appointed as children of grace. And in Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, God speaking to the church at Philadelphia said to them, I will spare you from that day of wrath that is coming, the time of great tribulation that is coming on the whole earth. So we are not appointed for wrath. We also need to fear because we are saved by His grace. He goes on to say in verse 9, he said, for we are not appointed to suffer wrath, but to be saved, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, in this case, sleep referring to the sleep of death, we may live together with Him. So because we are saved by faith in Christ, by His grace, we don't have to fear standing before Him. We don't have to fear the trumpet sounding, something we look forward to with eager and great expectation. praying for that day of redemption where we'll be caught up to be with Him forever. And we don't need to fear because we are encouraged to press on. He says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Paul meant for the message of the coming of Christ to be a source of encouragement to the Thessalonians. He said, because we know what's ahead, we don't need to fear. We're prepared by faith and trust in Christ. We don't need to be afraid. We can have confidence. You're not going to be caught off guard. We're not going to be surprised at the Lord's return because He's already warned us. We've already know. We don't need to be told. We already know very well what's going to occur. And by trusting in Christ, we don't have to fear. So we're encouraged, and those days come. And he said to the Thessalonians, no, you didn't miss it. Yes, we're going to go through times of trial. We're going to go through times of adversity and hardship. But the great time of God's wrath upon the earth, we will not be a part of. We don't have to fear that. So press on, continue, and press on and look forward and encourage each other with the word that we have. And they're up, he says, the more so as we see the day approaching. Let me illustrate it to you this way. Those of you that love football like me, and maybe in case of Gary, it's hockey. But whatever your favorite sport is, I'm just going to use football because it's mine. And in a day when the Steelers were playing, let's say, against the big championship game in the Super Bowl, and for some reason, the game's on, and looking forward to this big championship game, and you can't see the game because something else, you had something else on that day. In fact, our friend Eli, he usually has his birthday party on Super Bowl Sunday, so you can't see the game, and you're all upset because you want to see the big championship game. For me, I want to see the Steelers win, Bob, against the Dallas Cowboys. So you miss the game, so you know you're going to go see it, so you tape it. And you have your DVR set up to record the game because you know you're not going to be home. So once you get home, game's over, and you say, oh, I want to see what happened. And you get all excited. You sit down on the couch. You get your munchies. Get ready to turn the game on. You don't want anybody telling you what's going to happen. You don't want the news on. You don't want anybody telling you the results of the score because you want to watch it for yourself and have the joy of watching this game, right? Right, John? You don't want to know the results ahead of time because it ruins it. So you're getting all ready to watch the game. You turn on the TV to start the DVR, and you realize that you had ESPN on because that's again what the game was on. And here, before you had a chance to turn it off, they had the scroll at the bottom of the scroll comes. So you had the final score of the game. You go, ah! My game's ruined now. Now I know the results of it. This isn't going to be any fun anymore. I might as well turn the game off. I know the result. It's over. And you say, oh. And it ruined the game. Or did it? Because it gives you a whole new perspective. Because now I can watch the game and see whenever Ben throws an interception and the Cowboys end up taking it back and scoring a touchdown and going ahead, and they go up by 20 points. And I think, I could have, if I didn't know the results that the Steelers had come back and won, I would have been upset by that. And it could have, like, oh, and it could have really torn me apart. But knowing the result at the end of the game, you know, I can say, you know, I can get through this. I can bear this. Apply that to your life spiritually. When we go through hard times in life and those difficulties times come, and it seems like the enemy is gaining an upper hand in our life. It seems like the enemy is winning. And we could really get down and we could really get discouraged, but we know the end of the story, don't we? We know the end of the game. We know the final score. We know who wins. And that gives us another perspective that through it, we can press on. So that's what Paul was telling the Thessalonians. As children of the day, we don't have to be afraid. We know what the Lord has told us. We know what the coming of the day of the Lord is all about. We know that we're secure in Christ if we trusted in Him. We know that we won't be caught off guard. We have nothing to fear at His return. We have nothing to be ashamed of because He's redeemed us by His Son. And so, be encouraged to press on and when those hardships come. That's the purpose of what he was telling them in Thessalonians and the message for us today. So don't be filled with dread, but be encouraged to continue to press on. We are children of the day. God has redeemed us. Live as children of the day, looking forward to that great time when we will be with him. Nothing to dread. We don't need to be, we won't be caught off guard. We won't be ashamed. And we don't need to fear, because Christ is with us and will take us to be with him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for that confidence we have in your word and through your son Jesus, and that we don't have to dread the coming of the day of the Lord, because when you return, we are going to come with you. When you return, you're going to come to bring judgment on a disbelieving world that has rejected you and thinks that they can go on with everything is in peace and safety. But when that day of this judgment comes, they will be caught off guard. They will be swept away, and there will be no hope of redemption for them. But we are not of that group. We belong to the children of the day. So we don't have to dread or fear. We haven't missed your return, but we look forward to it. And Lord, we know that because of faith and trust in you, we have been saved by faith, and we belong to you. And so, Lord, we don't have to dread, we don't have to fear, that when that trumpet sounds, when you, the Father gives the call, you will catch us up to take us to be with you, and there we will be with you forever, rejoicing in your presence. And Lord, we long for, we thank it is that hope of encouragement, because we know the end of the story, because we know the final outcome. It gives us the strength in the midst of the hard times now to continue pressing on for you. So Lord, in the midst of running that marathon, it can get hard, it can get tiring, it can get discouraging. But help us again as children of the day to live in the day with the breastplate of hope, faith, and love around us, giving us the strength that we need to become like more and more like you, and to continue to press on in the battles that we face every day. So Father, thank you for what you've done and the hope that we have through Jesus. It's in his hope, it's in his name that we pray and rejoice together. In his name, amen.